Timothy 3. And I'm just going to read two verses this time, verses 14 and 15. If you would stand with me, and I'll read just these two verses. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I want to preach to you this morning a message entitled, The Church of the Living God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your help. Lord, I certainly don't understand many things, but I want to be as obedient and submissive as I know how. And I want to preach, Lord, what you gave me. I knew not who was going to be here today, but you did. And so, Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for your Holy Spirit in each one of our hearts. This is who is here and whoever is watching or listening. But, Lord, I pray that you would take full control of all of us and allow your Holy Spirit to do whatever needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The church of the living God, the house of God. The Bible in verse 15 says, the house of God, the church of the living God, this place, this church, this body, this assembly, is the pillar and ground of the truth. Without the truth, all we have is lies. All we have is deception. Without the truth, all we think we know is false. Church, the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. Not the truths. It's not plural. It's the truth. The one body of truth. The faith. One faith. The faith once delivered unto the saints. Church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The solid foundation. That's what the ground is, the foundation. The solid foundation and the structural support, the pillar of the truth. The anchor and the strength of the truth. Church. Church is the anchor, the strength, the foundation, the support of the truth. Church. In America, the truth has been lost in the weeds of philosophy and tradition and popular opinion. In America, the truth has been trampled on like dirt under shoes of education and career. In America, the truth has been scoffed at and scorned as worthless and outdated by the professors and the professionals of our day. Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15 says it like this. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Truth has fallen in the street. Truth lies dead in the streets of America. When truth lies dead in the streets, it is trampled on and despised as like trash lying in the street. You ran over a countless amount of trash today on your way to this building, and you did not stop to check on it. You did not stop to make sure that it was okay. You did not stop to try to revive it. You just ran over it and kept on going. Truth has fallen in the street. When this happens, The Bible says there in Isaiah 59, when this happens, anyone who departs from evil makes himself a prey. When truth fails, when truth dies in the streets, evil takes over and evil becomes the new truth. Evil becomes the new norm. When truth lies dead in the streets, the Bible says, justice standeth afar off. You're looking at America today that's just about ready to be ripped to shreds by all of these justice protesters and social injustice protesters. And listen to me, I'm taking sides of the truth. I'm taking the side of truth. I'm not taking either side with the white or the black and the cops and the criminals. It's not about that. It's about the truth. And the truth is what is dying in our streets. And justice standeth afar off. The Bible says equity cannot enter. Equity is fair, righteous justice. Everybody getting what they deserve without skewing or spinning the truth. Truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. And evil takes over. And now people believe that evil is truth. And now a church like this, old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, God-fearing congregation such as the Amazing Grace Baptist Church is a prey. And now if the evil seducers of this world had their way, they would shut these doors in a heartbeat. Why? Because truth is still standing here. Truth is our weapon against evil. Truth. Truth is our strength. Truth is our courage against evil. People are afraid to tell the truth anymore because evil has made truth a prey. Church, dearly beloved, the church of the New Testament, the church of the living God. However, regardless of what goes on anytime or anywhere, the truth, the church is the truth, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Bible tells us that the church is the foundation and the support and the backbone of truth. My responsibility before God as the pastor of this church is to enforce the truth in this place. My privilege as a man of God is to enforce God's truth. My God-given right is to enforce God's truth. Preach it and enforce it. Christians everywhere desperately need the man of God to enforce the truth in the house of God. That's what America needs. That's what Christians need. But listen, but they don't even know what truth is. The Bible says in Psalm 11, listen, Psalm 11 verse 3 says it like this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the ground of the truth is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Galatians 4, verse 16, Paul was writing to a church that has been infiltrated by false doctrine, by evil, where they're trying to lay truth out in the streets and leave it for dead and trample it as yesterday's garbage. And he says to them, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What's happening today, church, is the congregation is filling their hearts and their minds with the lies and the evil in their world, in our world, and they're coming to the house of God, and when the pastor preaches the truth, he becomes their enemy. I mean, let's think about the Garden of Eden. God told them the truth. The day that thou eat of that fruit of that tree, thou shalt surely die. Truth. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. The very beginning of sin, the very fall of man, is all because that the truth is preached and taught, and the one who tells them the truth has become their enemy because they're believing the lies of the adversary. I mean, what is truth, church? Well, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And everybody, listen, all the charismatic Pentecostal, all the fanatics, they love that. All the non-denoms and all, they love, Jesus. But later, John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. You cannot separate the two. If it's Jesus, it's here. If it ain't here, it ain't Jesus. Second Corinthians 11, Paul talks to the church there at Corinth and tells them that there's another Jesus. In Galatians chapter 1, he tells them, hey, there's other gospels, which aren't really the gospel, but they're other gospels. The church of the living God, the house of God, is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the pillar. It's the structural support. It's the solid foundation. It's the anchor and the rock and the strength of the truth. Jesus Christ embodied the truth. The Word of God is the written truth. And those are not two different things, dearly beloved. Anything the Bible says lines up with Jesus. And anything that you say that Jesus did or said or is that doesn't line up with this is a lie. It's another Jesus. Our text in 1 Timothy tells us there's a way to behave ourselves in the house of God. Why? Because if we do not behave ourselves in the way that's appropriate and fitting for the house of God, we will contradict and we will disgrace God's truth. Since this is God's house, and every church should be, but the problem again, when truth is fallen in the streets, when truth is cast out the window as no big deal, then it's no longer God's house. And Satan has no problem with buildings all over the world with the name of church on them and some kind of sign out front saying church or whatever, indicating that there's some type of church or assembly or fellowship or whatever they want to call themselves. Satan has no problem with that as long as the truth is not preeminent. But since this is God's house, God's rules are enforced. I can't go into your house and make my own rules. Likewise, you can't come into my house and change the rules. And we cannot come into God's house and make our own rules. And let me say this to you. Those of you who've been saved for a while, those of you grown up around this, the rules haven't changed from when you were a kid. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful. God is faithful. God changes not. The rules have not changed from since when you were a kid. Why? Because the truth has not changed. Oh, but listen to me. The world has changed. The sad part is these truths ought to govern our lives everywhere, not just in church. That's how you know when you're becoming a faithful Christian and you're growing and you're drawing nigh to Christ is when your life reflects the truth of God's house everywhere. Now, I'm speaking to members. I understand that church folks, we don't have any visitors here today. And I understand that we're all church, we're all home folks, but if you came seeking the Lord today, then you're going to appreciate what I'm going to preach. Amen. We all have an equal responsibility to respect the house of God. And I have a responsibility to enforce it in the house of God. I can't cover everything today, obviously, but I'm going to address the truths, the ones that I think are most under attack in our world today. Verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself." I want to talk, first of all, about our behavior in the house of God. You understand you're expected to behave in the house of God. That sounds, well, you're treating me like a child. No, not at all. You are, by the way, you are a child. If God's your father. You're expected to behave in the house of God just like parents should expect their children to behave in their house. You're expected to listen. You're expected to sit still and not distract others around you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 says it like this. "My son, attend to my words." That means pay attention to the words of God. Amen. It says, "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." That means lean into it and hang on every word. You're expected to do that in the house of God. It says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes." You're expected to pay attention. You're not expected to sleep. You're expected to keep your eyes on the preaching and the words of God. Your eyes and your ears on the preacher, listening and paying attention. You're expected to listen. You're also expected to follow any written or spoken rules. Proverbs 10:17 says this, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, that does what he's told." There's a written sign outside that auditorium that says, "No food or drinks in this sanctuary." You're expected to obey that. All of you. I spoke the rules during the announcements. I said, please do not use the facilities during the preaching. You're expected not to get up and walk out during the preaching or the invitation. You're expected to not talk to each other during the preaching or the song service or while she's playing the offertory. She's up here playing the offertory that she's worked on and prepared and prayed over, and you're sitting down there joking and laughing about something stupid that doesn't matter when she's up here doing a ministry for God, and you're sitting down there laughing and talking to each other while she's doing that. Amen. You're not expected to be here and treat this like your house where you're on your own and you just want to do what you want to do. Listen, there's a program here because this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And you're expected to behave yourself in the house of God. And you know what? Even 20 years ago, a preacher would never have to preach these things. You're expected to follow any written or spoken rules. You're expected to listen, sit still, and not distract others around you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. You know what prating means? You can't be quiet. You got to talk. You know the kid in school who can't ever be quiet when the teacher's talking? You're expected to sit still and not distract others around you. You're expected to follow any written or spoken rules. You're expected to participate in the singing. Psalm 146, verse 2 says it like this: while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. See, when you sit there and don't sing, you're distracting others around you. You're influencing them. You're making them believe it's not important to be a part of the song service. See, I can tell some of you, all of a sudden you're not shouting quite as loud. But I'm going to preach this. Because this is the house of God. Children are expected to sit still and listen. Children are to be trained to behave in church by their parents. Right. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Children are expected to be quiet and listen, or they're expected to be at least trained and taught that. And then if they don't do that, they're expected, amen, you are expected as a parent to make sure that they do the better next time. Proverbs 13:18 says it like this: poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. And what's going on today is the pastor has quit giving instructions. He's quit preaching the truth. He's quit enforcing the truth because he doesn't want to lose members of his congregation. So now instead of truth, we've got poverty and shame posing as the house of God. You're expected to behave in the house of God. And sadly, like I said, this should be your behavior everywhere. You should be respectful. You should listen. You should honor someone who's talking to you, someone who's ministering and doing a work for God. You should be respectful and quiet and listen and pay attention. You should honor written rules, spoken rules. As a Christian, you should submit yourself to authority. And that's really what this is all about. Truth is, our behavior is important to God in his house. The second area I want to talk to you about, not just your behavior, but your bodily appearance. Look in verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, what? In the what? Flesh. Does your flesh manifest God? You know, it used to be understood, hey, I'm going to church, there's a dress code. It used to be, even when I was a kid, which was just a few years ago, it used to be understood, hey, you know, I'm going to church. I mean, people used to talk about my Sunday best. They had one good pair of clothes, you know. They were farmers, they were ranchers, they were just old hillbillies, rednecks, but they had one good pair of clothes. Hey, that's my Sunday best. I can't wear that fishing. I can't wear that to school. That's my Sunday best. And you know, that's biblical. If you're saved, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. God himself dwells in you. You are to glorify God in your body. God should be manifest in our flesh, not our flesh. Ladies, I don't want to see any skin from your neck to below your knees in the house of God. Let me read to you scripture. Isaiah 47 verse 2 says, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. The thigh is nakedness according to God. Right. Anything above the knee included.
Right.
It's okay, get quiet. It's gone on long enough.
Right.
God's standard of nakedness is very much higher than this world's. It's his house. It's his house. Proverbs 6:26 says it like this. By means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. You know what's going on in this country? Ladies dressing ungodly and getting worse and worse with every generation, refusing the instruction of the Bible, refusing the truth, rejecting the truth, repudiating the truth. They've done a great deal now to make God's man a big wimpy piece of bread. It's not going to happen here.
Amen.
Truth lieth dead in the streets like yesterday's bread. And I know you've seen a piece of bread in the street. You don't stop, pick it up, and eat it. It's trash. Truth lieth in the streets, dead like yesterday's bread, because ladies have shot it so many times.
Yeah.
Just keep pushing it. Just keep pushing it. Just keep pushing it. Just keep pushing it. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. This is my body. This is my life. Nobody's going to. And you know what? You can do what you want to do in your house, but this is the house of God. Proverbs 5 verse 20 says it like this. I am not to embrace the bosom of a strange woman. In that same scripture, the Bible says that I am to rejoice with the wife of my youth, and her breasts are supposed to satisfy me at all times. But you come into this house showing everybody else your bosom. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it, and I don't want any man in this church to have to see it. I don't want to embrace it literally or mentally.
Amen.
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 I got a son back there who I'm trying to raise for God, and he comes to church and he's perverted and putrefied by the ladies' dress in this church. God help us. This is the house of God. Proverbs 7 verse 10 talks about the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. The way you dress reflects the condition of your heart.
Amen.
Ladies and men.
Yeah.
But the way you dress reflects the condition of your heart. A man is very visual. And his mind is thinking, he's very visual. Why do you think it is that the world uses nudity and nakedness for everything? To promote, push, and sell everything out there. Because man is visual. And then God says, listen, don't even embrace the bosom of a strange woman. Don't even look at it. But what does the devil do? He puts it everywhere. God help us. Why do we come to the house of God like that? A lady's body, your body is for your husband.
Amen.
Your body is for your husband to see.
Amen.
And no one else.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, I don't want to see it. And I don't want these men in my church, I don't want them to see it.
Amen.
Clothes are for covering, not for decoration. Therefore, covering and concealing the flesh. God should be manifest in your flesh, not your flesh. And men, let me just throw this in there. I don't want to see your chest. I don't want to see your legs. Listen, I don't want to see any of that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. If you're going to represent Jesus, then do it with some honor. Do it with some dignity. It ought not just be in the house of God, but you surely ought to do it here.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
This is truth, folks. I'm reading to you verse after verse after verse.
Yeah.
Truth. See, but this stuff is dead. It's dead in the streets.
Amen.
God, I can't let it die here. The bottom line is, folks, the church of the living God, the house of God, it's His house and He's alive.
Amen.
The living God. Why do you think the Bible says that? The church of the living God. Because He's still alive. This is His house and He desires to commune with us here in His house. He's still alive. He will always be forevermore alive. But we come to church as if He did not even exist.
Amen.
Coming to church in shorts and flip-flops. Yeah. Ushers, listen to me. If you see that again, I want you to tell that person you cannot come in here like this. You need pants and shoes. Ushers, I'm putting it on you now. If you tell them and he wants to argue with you, bring it to me. But if you don't tell him, I'm coming to you.
Amen.
No more shorts and flip-flops in the house of God.
Amen.
No way.
Amen.
Ushers, I need you to step up. I need you to stand for truth. Ladies, if you see something, I'm not going to go to a lady and tell her, look, you know, you're immodest. Listen, but I'm going to need you to talk to my wife, and she's going to take care of it. We're not just going to preach it. We're going to enforce it. I guess I'm literally going to have to put a sign by the door. There is a dress code in this church. I'm going to put one up there. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. How can we expect God to meet here with us when we're half naked? God is alive, folks. This is His house. He, in all things, Christ is to have the preeminence here. Christ. I mean, can you imagine those people that dress like that in church? I mean, I can just imagine it, if God was sitting beside them. Well, the truth of the matter is, it probably wouldn't even matter to them. But if they knew that was God sitting there beside them, they would be awfully uncomfortable exposing themselves to their body, to the world. Well, this is God's house, and He's alive, and He is here. That's what I'm trying to say. And this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we cannot let truth lie dead in the streets and treat it as if it was not important. We cannot let that happen. This is not a hospital for sinners. You don't find that in here. Somebody who thought they were real clever came up with that. That's not what the Bible says. It's the house of God. Not a hospital for sinners. So, well, preacher, they got to grow. Oh, they got to grow all right. But they're going to start off with a little more than shorts and flip-flops.
Amen.
And if they don't like that, then they're going to have to grow somewhere else.
Amen.
Now, we let some things slide because we know people don't know. People aren't taught this anywhere else. We let some things slide, but dearly beloved, I want you guys to know, especially you ushers, to take a stronger stand against these things. This is the house of God. This is not a summer resort. This is not a beachside resort. This is not your living room. This is not your shower. I mean, dear God, this is the house of God.
Yeah. That's
And it's not the God of our imagination. It's not the God of the popular opinion. It's not the other Jesus of those universities out there. It's the God of this Bible. He is the living, true, only wise God. And this is his house. We cannot let truth fall in the streets on our watch. We must revive it. We must thrive in it. We must love it. We must understand it is preeminent. Let me read to you some documentation. This is straight off of their official website. First of all, this is the city of Krugerville, just up 377 here. The municipal court dress code. Proper attire required in the courtroom in order to maintain order and uphold the dignity and decorum of the judicial branch of our government. Rules of conduct and dress for litigants, counsel, witnesses, court staff, and spectators will ensure that persons in the courtroom do not obstruct or interfere with the orderly transaction of court business, nor degrade or insult the dignity of the judicial proceedings, the judicial officers, the witnesses, and others in the courtroom. If I put that out there on the front door, I would be labeled a legalist. Shirts and shoes must be worn in the courtroom. Prohibited attire. Hats and caps must be removed. Heavily soiled work clothing. Bare midriff outfits. The world in the courtroom doesn't even let ladies go half naked in there. Cutoffs, halter tops, muscle shirts. And that could be men or women nowadays. Shorts are only permitted for juveniles and if it's a part of your company's dress code. Tank tops are forbidden, undershirts and see-through blouses, swimsuits and lingerie, athletic uniforms, hats and helmets, theatrical costumes, face paint, and clothing. Listen, clothing emblazoned with obscene words, images, or messages contemptuous or disrespectful of the judicial process. It says electronic devices, cell phones, and pagers must be in bold caps turned off. It says individuals causing distractions or disruptions are subject to removal. That's a courthouse. Here's the official courtroom policy of the County of Denton. Electronic devices, cell phones, and pagers must be, underlined, capital, turned off. Amen. All packages, purses, briefcase are subject to search by the bailiff at any time. Ladies, leave your purse by the door. Individuals causing distractions or disruptions are subject to removal from the courtroom. Proper attire required. Shorts are permitted for juveniles and part of a company's dress code. No cutoffs, no swimsuits, no exposed midriffs, no muscle shirts, no sagging pants, tuck-in shirts. Gentlemen, remove hats or caps, and shoes are required. And in bold letters right here, dress code will be strictly enforced. And by the way, right here at the bottom it says, no food or drinks allowed in the courtroom. Now, folks, don't you think God's house demands a whole lot more respect than that? I do. And I'm the one that's going to be accountable for this church. Proverbs 9:9 says it like this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So if you're saved this morning, if your heart's right, this will do nothing but help you, make you wiser and increase your learning. This is the house of God. Let's get back to treating it as such. Our Heavenly Father, that's the message this morning. Lord, I pray for your help and understanding in all of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible, and we certainly have nothing to stand on were it not for the Bible and the truth. Please, Lord, make us wiser. Give us more understanding. Help us to see the house of God, your house, the only living God. Bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand together, dearly beloved. The altars are open. The piano's going to play softly.